Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who save with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
SiriusXM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
So let's go from one superstar on the Miami Heat with Jimmy Butler. Let's talk about the next one, Jason Tatum. And Antoine Walker, I'd like to, you know, ask you this question. Like, what's going on with Tatum? Right? We put him... You know, we've put him on
the show. He said superstar status.
We put him in a superstar status. But as a superstar, you can't constantly not show up for big playoff games, right? I mean, there's one thing. I'm just saying, it's one thing to have an off night. But I'm just saying, Antoine, am I lying? You put somebody in the superstar category, and that's twice now. We saw it with the Milwaukee Bucks where he only dropped 10 points.
But they won that. But they won
that series. They won that series, but he lost that game. Okay. I'm just saying.
They won the series.
Okay.
Series.
Okay. Game three again. Oh, he didn't show up. 10 points, 6 turnovers. I believe he's averaging over 5 turnovers in this series. So
basically, what he's saying, Twan.
I'm just saying, you put him in the superstar category. Do superstar.
He showed in. That was the same one. Say he wouldn't pick LeBron James out of the whole team. Jesus Christ.
and basically what he's saying, Twan, is what dudes is saying is, look, football players, we don't have no bad days.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, if you put somebody in the superstar stratosphere, you're talking about the Giannis's of the game, the Luka Doncic's, you can't put 10 points up twice during the playoffs and your teams lose that game, and then you can't have pivotal turnovers. We saw that at the end of this.
Well, is Tom Brady a superstar?
Yeah. When was he?
Well, it depends.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Now you want to talk about Tom Brady?
I disagree with how he's, you know, covering Tatum right now.
I'm just being
honest.
The reason why I asked about Tom Brady, because the first year he's in Tampa, they win the Super Bowl. He threw 3 interceptions against Green Bay Packers.
I'm gonna give you football players credit.
Football guys and how your guys' playoff system is set up and is one and done. So of course you can't necessarily have a bad day in football. So I get that part of it. But we're talking about NBA series, and he is a superstar. And think about this. He went through KD. He went through Giannis. He's still playing the Western Conference Finals. He's down 2-1. He's allowed to have a bad night. And he's had actually maybe more than 2 bad games throughout the playoffs.
That's what I'm saying.
But,
he had a couple.
But when he shows up, he shows up and he's steady advancing and he's still playing. And he made the playoffs. So LeBron James averaged 30 this year just to get the Pac-Man. And he didn't make the playoffs. But that's a whole nother story. We ain't going to talk about that. We'll get back to that. LeBron James, let me ask this question, Pac-Man. Is LeBron James, can he have 1 bad year where they don't make the playoffs?
LeBron James did not have a bad year. He averaged 30 points this year.
did he make the playoffs?
The team had a bad year. Not LeBron James.
Okay, so they're allowed to do that, right? He's allowed to not make the playoffs 1 year, right?
But that ain't on him, though. But
okay. It's on Jason Tatum, and he in the Eastern Conference Finals right now. So it looks like he's doing pretty good.
Let me answer the question. But I put some of the blame that LeBron have to take some of it. But
he's a genius.
LeBron averaged 30 points
this year. That's
all I'm saying. I'm saying things happen like that.
But I don't know when the last time LeBron had 8 points in a game.
Jason Tatum had 10. He had 10.
When the last time
he had 10.
Had 10 points.
It was double figures. LeBron hasn't played in 2.5 months. I can't think about it. I'm talking about a guy who's currently playing.
I love you, man.
Everybody on this call right now, everybody on this show right now, we all played 10 plus years in basketball or football. Yeah, so we're super media trained and we're super media savvy. All right. We also been in the media probably collectively all together, probably over 15 years, right? If you add them all up together. Dudes, you are tripping right now.
I'm not tripping.
You are tripping right now. Listen, because you know this as an athlete. You know this as someone that's been in the media for years now. Bro, you said the same thing in the series against the Bucks and the Celtics. Oh, they ain't going to go to game 7. Oh, this ain't going to be no series. And then look what happened. They're out of it. So bro, like let the series play out. Really?
Well, no, but this is my thing, Brandon. If you put somebody in the superstar stratosphere, like that's elite company, right? How many times
did
How many times did Giannis go out there and drop 10 damn points? Not once. How many times did Luka Doncic go out there and drop 10 points? Not damn once. How many times
you guys got
go listen, out there and drop 10
y'all
points?
Once. Before we go to break, I'm just gonna leave y'all with this. You gotta think about this about Jason Tatum. He's been in the playoffs 4 times. He's been in the Eastern Conference Finals 4 times. You don't get there to the Eastern Conference Finals 4 times. You ain't a superstar. He's a superstar, man. He's played in a bunch of games. He's there, man.
Good.
Let's talk about it. Who's
LeBron and Marcus Smart?
Come on, bro. I respect 100%.
That's like saying Kyrie and Kevin Love. Man.
Correct. Come on, bro.
Hold on. So Kyrie and Kevin,
bring it back. We got to wrap. Bring it back. Bring the conversation back.
We're gonna bring this conversation back. I am happy tonight here on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
You tripping?
Yeah, y'all tripping. We were discussing me myself. I feel like if you put somebody in the superstar category stratosphere. You can't have 10 points in the playoff game, and you can't do it multiple times. So we were discussing this, and actually I want to bring in our producer, Anthony. I know he had a question or a remark he wanted to say about this.
Help us out here.
And this is for Antoine specifically. Antoine, I know obviously you started your career in Boston playing 8 seasons, and if you go back and look at Paul Pierce's number, 5th year in the league where Jason Tatum is right now, arguably one of his best years. Who would you take as a running mate in the postseason? Paul Pierce or Jason Tatum?
Wow.
That's not a tough question. I'm taking Paul Pierce.
Right, because he's a superstar.
I'm taking Paul Pierce. I like Paul Pierce's offensive game better than I like Tatum, so that's a little different for me. I just think as a total package, Paul, has a better offensive game than Jason Tatum. Paul going to post up. He's going to get to the foul line. A game where Paul's not scoring, he still can do other things on the floor as far as getting to the foul line to kind of balance that out. That's what usually great players do when they're not scoring. They figure out a way to still keep scoring by getting to the foul line.
Okay, thank you. No, I thought it was just
Never,
Adam,
does that sound like a contradiction to you or no? No.
Yeah, what great players Jason Tatum
is a superstar. Is a superstar.
In the game anywhere else when he's not scoring. So like what? So what is he?
Well,
so
he you didn't ask me what Jason Tatum needs to do to affect the game.
Okay. What does he have to do to continue to be in this superstar category?
The games that you're talking about, where Jason Tatum struggles, is the games where he does not shoot the three well. So everything with Jason Tatum sometimes get predicated on the jump shot or getting all the way to the basket. You got to have an in between game. Because good defensive teams are not going to allow you to do what you want to do. So you got to have a pull-up. You got to be able to get to the foul line. That's what certain guys do in this league that puts them at that level. Case in point, KD. We watched KD. We watched KD struggle against them. But KD also has different parts to his game that he can go to even when the jump shot is not going on. LeBron James, if his jump is not going, he still says struggle enough to get to that. He still gets to the line.
Y'all letting him get away with this? Or y'all letting him get away with this?
Well, you got to remember.
Say it, play it one more time.
Y'all, y'all gotta realize. How many guys in this league are considered superstars? See, that's the better question.
Okay, No.
How many of you guys consider being superstars in this league? That's the question.
You only got five or six. That's so, the problem.
I'm just being honest with you.
See, if you said it's five or six, and you said Tatum's not one of the five or six, then that's your opinion. I think the window's a little bit more open than five or six.
I may put
maybe 10 guys in this league that I could consider superstars that you can win with.
Let's name them. I think we're pushing 12.
Go ahead and name them, Twan.
Oh, let me ask you a question. Let me just throw a name out there. Let's see if y'all think that. Do y'all consider James Harden a superstar?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Listen.
I don't know if he's in my top 12.
He struggled. James Harden is a superstar that struggled this year. Now, is he washed? It's to be determined. Next year is going to let us know if he's washed. Or if it was just situation, a hamstring, I need to see how he responds next year. Yes, James Harden is a superstar.
The answer is no, if that's what you're saying.
Okay, then I'm going to give you one more name, and then we can move on from. Russell Westbrook a superstar?
Pac-Man,
you saying no because he struggled this year.
I'm not saying that. Prior to that, he averaged 22. I'm saying who the league is making to be the superstars right now in the league right now.
I don't know.
Oh my god,
Let me ask you a question, Twan.
Have you ever been in a situation where your skill set didn't match? Like it wasn't conducive to the situation, so you couldn't really be that superstar that you used to be. I saw the Slam magazine, and without question, everybody. Okay, so that's but, it. So that's no hard. You notice as an athlete, you know Russell Westbrook. Yeah, if he stayed in DC, the dude would have still be averaging a triple double. It was a bad situation. So why are we going to say he ain't who he is?
I didn't say he wasn't a superstar. I'm asking you guys.
That's the question, man. The point,
it's just like James Harden. I'm just saying, don't be so quick because the guys had a bad game and to take him out that conversation. Jason Tatum's a superstar. He's playing the Eastern Conference Finals, I think now for the fourth or fifth time in his young career. It takes time to get over that hump. That's like saying, is Chris Paul a superstar because he never won a title? Or he's never got to, you know, that's so we can't do that. We got to stop doing that. Chris Paul is a superstar.
Can we name the
superstar? See, there you go. Now you see what I'm saying?
In the league?
No. Everybody list is going to be different.
Yeah, it's going to be
different. We probably agree on the first six.
It's more than 10.
I think we'll be by nine.
I'm tripping, bro.
We might be by nine. We only got a couple.
The Melo is not a superstar yet.
I think he's a really good player. I don't think he's a superstar.
Man, y'all tripping, bro.
Man, we already had this conversation with Brandon.
Hey, quick.
Hi, everyone. I'm Hall of Fame sportscaster Leslie Visser. And if you love sports the way I do, the people, the passion, then you'll enjoy my podcast, In Conversation, every Thursday. I've drawn from 45 years of covering all sports with people like Billie Jean King and David Duchovny and the merry prankster himself, Bill Walton.
I have reached the top of the mountain. I am having a conversation with Leslie Visser, my hero.
So please listen and subscribe wherever you stream your podcasts.
We noticed, and we weren't paying attention, we all missed this, that Joel Embiid was on second team All-NBA. Now, granted, the NBA does it by position, and Nikola Jokic was the MVP, so it's kind of hard not to have him on the first team NBA. But what do you think about that, LaShawn? Joel Embiid not being on the first team All-NBA.
Now, you my boy, so I just want to tell you this. Yeah. Zach LaVine. This is on the same page. You said, I don't know what you were saying.
I said Levine is Levine.
Yeah, Levine. Okay. Yeah.
I said it about the second time.
Yeah, I got you, my boy. Yeah. I said what the people are like, who the hell is that? I didn't even notice that. Like, come on, y'all. Let's keep it a bean. Yeah. When I say keep it a bean for all the viewers out there, our listeners, that means keep it 100.
Yeah.
There's no way that Joker outplayed Embiid this year. Embiid was super dominant.
He was.
Come on, man. And a lot of these writers, I always said this even when I was playing, a lot of these writers that vote for MVPs or they vote for all pros and all that, all NBA. We got to get some ex-players on there, right? Even current or ex-players to give you the perspective from a ball player, because everybody I talk to, everybody I listen to on interviews, when they talk about the MVP, they all give Joker his love and respect.
Yeah.
But they talk about the MVP was in Philadelphia. And if for sure it wasn't James Harden, they was talking about Joel Embiid. And that man should be first team all NBA. I didn't even see that. I'm looking at all the other names until I'm looking at like second team. Is that Embiid? There's no way he should be second team. Am I tripping?
No, I'm feeling bad. I actually feel bad for Embiid. I know last year he got hurt, so he probably would have won MVP last year. This year, he should have been the MVP. And that's not to take anything away from Joker. Joker put up great numbers. But what the problem is when you get these writers, the writers are going strictly by the numbers. So these analytical numbers, they try to – this is how they basing – you can't base the MVP off analytical numbers. So Joker analytical numbers are incredible. But yeah, they still was the sixth seed. He played without two of his – two other good players, so those numbers will probably come down a little bit if those players are playing. But what Embiid had to go through this season, we have to respect that, man. First of all, you go with Ben Simmons, pull the whole hooky move on him, don't even come out and play.
That's his favorite player.
Then you trade for James Harden. He give you 10 games, minimum. 10 good the games, minimum. Then he quit, you know, 10, the minimum games he give you. Then Embiid had to go through – he tore his thumb up, his eye. He had to go through all these things and still put together a monster year. He went past the critics that say he stay hurt all the time. He played through injury. He went through all that. So he deserved – I thought he deserved the MVP. And now to be shorted on first-team All-NBA, that's like another slap in the face. So I'm starting to believe because he says the media don't like him. So it's starting to look like the media don't like him. And he's getting shorted on these awards. So I'm with you on that, Shetty. He need to be on first team All NBA at the minimum for this season.
Yeah, this brings up another conversation, LaShawn. You said, you know, we need to get some like ex players.
Yeah.
So I've said this for years
in
Hall of Fame voting when it comes to football players, right? We got these writers that, you know, hold vendetta against players from when they were playing. T.O.'s situation, perfect example.
That T.O. was crazy.
There's no way he shouldn't have been first ballot Hall of Fame.
But
no way.
What's his name for the Detroit Lions? He's nice.
Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson gets right in.
Yeah.
Calvin
had crazy numbers, though.
He don't have Terrell Owens numbers.
Nope, there's not too many that have
Terrell. But listen to what I'm saying.
You got to think, Calvin also walked away from the game.
Listen, I'm just saying, you speak in numbers, right?
Yeah.
There's no way that Calvin Johnson walks right into the Hall of Fame and you make Terrell Owens wait.
Wait, yeah. Well, but it's because the vendetta the writers had, right? But
come on,
when I brought that subject up, right, and I would like to hear Twan's, you know, opinion on this for NBA too. Mm. Some people would say, you know, for Hall of Fame voting, you know, if you allow it and open it up to players, they would just allow their friends to get into the Hall of Fame, right? They would just vote for their friends. But that's you ain't think about that, right?
Yeah.
So this is my thing. So vote that had good careers but aren't Hall of Fame type players. You know, that way it's a middle of the row, you know, and they can vote. I would say fairly as possible, because again, you know, the players know who deserved to be in the hall. You know, when guys played, when they played,
like me,
yeah, you like got the
me.
Numbers,
like me, 100 touchdowns, 100 touchdowns. Hold on, no, yeah. 6 Pro Bowls, 3 All Pros, 15,000 yards. Mm. You know what I'm saying, what are we talking about, Twan? What are we talking about?
Do you think ex players should be allowed to vote on All NBA and then also Hall of Fame? You know. Status.
Oh, without question.
Hall of Fame.
I think ex players should definitely be allowed to vote because we're going to be hard on each other.
Yup.
That's true. You think it's not going to be that. We're going to be really hard on each other. Like, and I'm not calling guys out, but Ben Wallace should not be in the Hall of Fame. And I like Ben.
Hey,
but I don't think Ben Wallace is a Hall of Fame guy.
Wow.
But,
you know what I mean? 3-time defensive player of the year.
You know. It don't matter what he was 3-time defensive player of the year. Ben Wallace, you telling me Ben Wallace is the best, one of the top centers that ever played a game? So, or is he a top guy
Dennis
that
Rodman
blocked a few shots and took some shots? Yeah, Dennis Rodman, one of the best defensive power forwards.
They were the ever. Same player.
No, they wasn't. They weren't the same player.
He was not the same player. No, he was not the same player. Not even close.
I said defensively and both of them, they weren't offensive.
It's just... You know, it's like certain guys got to be in the hall, man. Like it was, and players would know that. It's just like Shady. Like everybody know. Nobody was like, and I'm not. I didn't even play football, but it ain't too many running backs coming out the backfield and can take it from scrimmage like him. How many guys was doing that? He's in the elite category, man. When you're in the elite category, you got to be, you're in Hall of Famer. You're elite to this game.
Okay,
that's period. You're an elite guy to this game.
So you said Ben Wallace don't deserve it.
I don't think so either.
Does Draymond belong in the Hall of Fame?
Ooh. I don't know. No, he don't. Stats wise, no. His numbers don't speak for itself. But no, he don't. The impact that he had on Golden State, he's a Hall of Famer. For Golden State, he should be in the rafters in Golden State. That don't mean you a Hall of Famer. No, so then he could be in the rafters at Golden State. He was obviously one of the most impactful players for the Golden State Warriors in the history of their team.
Okay.
But the game, what he been doing, it's been plenty of guys at his size doing what he's doing. Can handle the basketball. He shoot the three occasionally. His skill set, plenty of guys been doing that. And did it at a higher level than he did it, as far as stat-wise. But for that team and what he does for the Golden State Warriors team, yeah, he's great. He should be on every wall in Golden State.
So let the Ring of Honor Golden State.
Love him to death.
Yeah, Ring of Honor.
Yeah, but not Hall of Fame. When we're talking about the Hall of Fame, is about the best. It's supposed to be the best elite guys to play the game. It's different, man. Like Chris Webber's waiting. Chris Webber. You got to think NBA Hall of I don't know the criteria for NBA and football, but I know the NBA, you got to, they talk about college too.
Oh,
you
got
to know it's about, it's called the NBA. So it's college, college is included. It's supposed to be included. What's going on with Chris Webber? You don't think Chris Webber was impactful in college basketball?
Yeah.
And what that 5-5, what that group did, and then in the league, he wasn't an all-star power forward in the league? I mean, so you got to think about that. So that's why it's important that it would be nice. I would say, I mean, obviously they're not going to change, but that's why it would be nice if players were doing the voting, because we understand and we know what time it is, what the writers are going to go. Because if you don't, it's like Russell Westbrook is not great for the media. He's not a media guy. So the media don't like him. So but he's definitely a Hall of Famer. But 100%. Because his numbers, but think about it. Why T.O. take so long? You guys play football. T.O. should have never took that long.
Yeah, it was nonsense.
Yeah, he should have took that long.
That's true.
So you can't take, I mean, it's like a no-brainer. Certain people, but when the writers are in control, if you don't kiss their ass, the writer's ass, or do it the way they want you to do it, and they hold it against you. Right now, I'm going to tell you about one player that should be in the Hall of Fame, and I don't know what he did or how he did it, but Mark Aguirre should be in the Hall of Fame. And y'all can Google it, check it out. Mark Aguirre should be in the Hall of Fame. It's no brainer. This guy was the number one pick coming out of college. He got two trophies, MVP. He's got every award imaginable. He's not in the Hall of Fame. It's embarrassing, man. But that's the writers, man. When they want to blackball you and don't put you in because you don't do things their way, we don't have to succumb to you. You don't have to be a great media person to get your individual accolades. You shouldn't have to do that.
I agree with that.
You got to do it that way, and you got to do it that way to get the stuff that the rewards that you deserve, the hard work that you can put in. You should be able to get rewarded for that. Everybody don't want to stand in front of the camera and talk. Everybody don't want to do what we're doing right now. That's not for everybody.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if that's not their thing, we can't get mad at that. So I'm all for players taking over, or at least having at least 50% of the vote. Maybe we have 50% of it. Maybe that'll balance it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
It's definitely something to think about. And again, Hall of Fame is you in a different stratosphere, right? So I agree with Twan. It should be a select few that get that award.
Inside the Green Room with 3-time NBA champ Danny Green.
Chris Paul is a 9-time defensive player on an All-NBA defensive team. But I don't mind certain guys critiquing players. You're a role player, like Matt Barnes said, to disrespect a Hall of Famer is too far. Calling somebody a cone is disrespectful, bro. I don't care. You target and cone are two different words, bro.
Don't miss an episode of Inside the Green Room with Danny Green every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcast.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower, just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
6-time Pro Bowl running back, Mr. Crazy Work himself, LeSean Shady McCoy.
What's going on? What's going on?
NFL columnist covering the Miami Dolphins for over 15 years, Omar Kelly.
Good guy, bad guy.
He's a good guy. He's a tough guy. But yeah, a
you drop
guy.
A ball. You drop one ball. You drop one ball.
It wasn't one. It was like 12, Brandon.
and my other teammate that just interrupted, 6-time Pro Bowl receiver.
Oh, six.
Brandon Marshall. How you guys doing tonight,
six?
Man?
Six? You got six?
Wait,
six,
hold on. No, no, you time out.
2 times. Wait, first of all, I should have 8. Right,
I should have 10.
Why should you have 8?
Because my second year, this dude named Michael Turner,
Michael T.
Falcons Sanders, running back.
Yeah, my numbers was way better than his as a sophomore or my second year. And then one year, what year is that? I didn't. One of my years in Buffalo, I had a good year. Then they picked me.
Well, I mean, it's the same 16, thing for me.
The year we were together, you were Pro Bowl of 16, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 17.
But that is the same argument for me. It should have been my first Pro Bowl. I think it was my second year in the league. Numbers was crazy. And crazy. They put Ocho in over me. I had like 1,300 yards. Yeah, crazy work. He had 900. And then they put Ocho in.
You got to wait a year. You got to wait a year.
Yeah, that's true.
So basically,
wait a year for sure.
Can we start having some of our listeners call in? So basically, our careers, it's like equal.
Who, me and you?
Me and you. Six Pro Bowls. How many All Pro Nods did you get?
2 or 3, something like that.
You don't even know.
I
got 3.
You got second teams though.
Don't matter.
I got one more. But hold, this is what I will say. You didn't make the All Decade team.
Let me tell you what.
You
want All Decade team?
You asking it?
I saw you put that out on social media.
The world knew about it.
Yeah, but can I explain?
Go ahead.
So All Decade team. I came in the league in 2006. So my run was from 2000. It was half of that decade. So from 2006 to 2015 was my prime. So now you got Megatron coming in and all these other receivers that actually Larry got Fitzgerald. That nod.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Larry had this.
Are you older than Larry?
No, he's older than me.
Larry older than him.
Oh, he's on
so you got these guys that got the nod above me that can't. You talking about 2010 to 2020.
Yeah.
So, of course, I didn't make the all-decade team either 2010 or 2000.
Sounds like an excuse to me.
It ain't no excuse.
There's guys on there.
I think if you had better quarterbacks, you might have made it.
No. What do you mean? My numbers was crazy. My 10-year run was crazy.
And it probably would have been better if you had better quarterbacks.
There's guys older than him. Made the all-decade team.
Older.
Larry Fitzgerald.
No, that's only... He's talking about one person. Who are these receivers? Pull that up again. It's only one guy. Larry Fitzgerald played 20 years.
All right.
Calvin
came in a year after you, right?
No, 2-3 years after
me. Calvin came in a year after you.
No, he did not come in 2007. I'm telling you, Google it, bro.
I'm 08. He was a year before me.
Oh.
He liked that.
He had 2,000 yards in one season, man.
Because we were the same high school class.
He had 2,000. Come on.
Well, we got a big show tonight. Let's go ahead and get into it. Colin Kaepernick is finally getting another shot in the NFL. We'll discuss that. See Shady clapping it up. A 49ers player threatens a reporter, giving him that Will Smith treatment. Keep my name out your mouth.
I should have did that to Omar. Drop one ball.
And is Kyrie Irving possibly out in Brooklyn? What? We'll discuss that. Lots to cover today, but you know we got to start with the big story of the day. Colin Kaepernick just wrapped up a workout with the Las Vegas Raiders. Let's bring in our producer, Evan, for the news here.
Yeah, huge news out of Vegas. Colin Kaepernick finally got a workout with an NFL team 6 years after he last suited up. He had a private workout with the Raiders today, presumably for a job backing up Derek Carr. And now the question everyone is asking, are you going to sign him or not? So here's what we know so far, right? Team owner Mark Davis recently talked about how he would give his blessing to bring in Cap for a workout as long as his coach and the GM were on board. Well, Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler were curious enough to take a look because they invited Cap for the workout today. Now, not to pat ourselves on the back here, but I think we need to be straight with some facts. I feel like we had a lot to do with this because Cap sat down with I Am Athlete just last month, gave his first interview in years. And he opened up about everything from his willingness to take a backup role to why he would be a financial benefit for NFL teams. In fact, I want to play a clip real quick of the interview where Brandon was role playing with Kaepernick, playing an NFL GM. And he basically said to Colin, pretend I'm an NFL GM. I'm going to ask you the tough questions. And here's what Cap said that I think led to this tryout today. Take a look.
Let's role play. Talk to me. I'm the GM.
Come on,
you doing method acting? Yeah, come on, watch this, because I'm the GM. Let's play it. Let's go.
We got you here today.
So, let me come in and compete. I mean, you have your roster, you have a team. Let me come in and compete, show you what I can do.
Well, Cap, you know, football, it's all about eliminating distractions. Like, how do I know if I bring you in and I sign you, that you're going to make my locker room better, that you're going to bring us together?
One, you can know by experience. My coach Jim Harbaugh spoke to it. My coach Chip Kelly spoke to it and said that I made the locker room better. I came in, I prepared, I made the team better. That 2016 season, my last year, my teammates voted me the most courageous and inspirational player. So when you're talking about the people that are actually in the building, that has never come out that I've been a distraction. It's never come out that I've been an issue from the people I played with.
Cap, can I keep it real with you, Cap? This is between you and I. Don't tell nobody. $16 billion industry, Cap. What about our fan base? What do we say to our fan base? What are they going to say?
I say you have end racism in the back of your end zone. You got Black Lives Matter on your helmet. Everything I've said should be in alignment with what you're saying publicly. It's a $16 billion business. When I first took a knee, my jersey went to number one. When I did the deal with Nike, their value increased by $6 billion. $6 billion. With a B.
With a B.
With a B. So,
I mean, we acting. We come on, stay in mode.
Talk, man. You broke character.
Talk.
If you're talking about the business side,
it makes sense.
It shows beneficial. Yeah. If you're talking about the playing side, come in, let me compete. You can evaluate me from there. The NFL is supposed to be a meritocracy. Come in, let me compete. If I'm not good enough, get rid of me. But let me come in and show you.
I would like to pose a question to my teammate, LaShawn Shady McCoy. the Raiders working out Colin Kaepernick, and if they sign him, does it make sense? Because right now the quarterback depth, I believe, is Derek Carr. Then you got Nick Mullins, who I played with in San Francisco, and then Jarrett Stidham at quarterback. So one would say, you know, Kaepernick has a really good opportunity to potentially be the number two guy in this offense. So does it make sense for the Raiders to bring in Kaepernick?
I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think that he'll get a chance, and I think he'll make the team. The reason why I say that is because last year they had Derek Carr, who was the main guy, right? Franchise quarterback, they just paid him. Mm-hmm. And they had Marcus Mariota, correct? Right? He came in a lot. He did a lot of options, did a lot of wildcat. He never really threw the ball, he ran the ball.
Yeah.
I think that Kaepernick, right, if you look at that depth chart they have, the quarterbacks, I think he'll do that. I think he's most successful not throwing it. I think he's more successful running it, right? And I think if you get a guy with his type of size, his type of ability, I mean, you let him come in there and do some wildcat, come in there and do some run-driven, quarterback-driven pass or plays, and he runs the ball. So I think he can make the team.
I don't even think it's important whether or not he makes the team. I think the important part is, for the first time in 6 years, somebody opened the door to take a look. Now, every Tuesday, 32 teams have workouts with guys and bring in wide receivers, and they need quarterbacks to throw the ball. They need quarterbacks to throw the ball to cornerbacks to test them out. Why, there are so many crumb quarterbacks who just come in to get that work, to be that arm. Why hasn't Kaepernick had that opportunity for 6 years? And that's because the NFL was blackballing him.
It's more than that. I think the biggest thing with Kaepernick that people are like missing out on, right, is Brandon talked about, as a business, right? These guys you're talking about, the crumbs, the quarterbacks that his class he's in, they're not coming with the baggage, right? It's the truth. So it's like, hey,
okay.
Seriously, if I have a team, right, and this guy that's coming in, he's not that good of a quarterback, right? He's not going to make a big, attention about if he's playing or not playing.
Be a distraction.
I didn't want to say that word, but okay, be a distraction. So this guy, he knows his role. Sometimes Cap, he talked about how he wanted to play, maybe potentially, you know, be a starter again. And he's coming in with a lot of baggage with the distractions of the things he did, the stuff he stood for, which is right. I think that part is right. But I'm just thinking of a GM. It's like, hey, man, he's coming in here and he's not producing like we want him to. And he's bringing distractions. Like,
this is what I would say, man, to push back on that, LeSean Shady McCoy. Tim Tebow.
Mm.
What do you say in response to that?
What baggage is he coming with?
I mean, a whole lot of hoopla in New York when they brought him in there. You know, Mark Sanchez was a quarterback. They brought him in. Attention. It was crazy, the attention. And then not playing for, what, 3 or 4 years? And then switching to a position.
It's different.
A tight end position.
It's not different.
It is.
And I think that this whole he's going to be a distraction is overrated. I'm the media. I create the distraction. I'm telling you, it's not that big of a deal. We write for 2 days and then it's about football and performance. Like, my thing is, these teams, hopefully he gets 6 more workouts and 6 more teams take a look at him just to look, just to show the world,
hey,
we're not blackballing him anymore. We paid him a settlement because we did blackball him. It's 6 years later. Now we just want to see if he's got ability or not. This is a good starting point. Yeah. Now, hopefully when some team loses their backup quarterback and needs to kick tires or needs another camp arm, because I can tell you Tua was sick this week and the Dolphins only had 2 arms. By the end of the day, Teddy Bursett and the young boy.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater and the young boy, they was on fumes. They need a fourth arm. Not to say the Dolphins should sign Kaepernick.
Yeah.
But there are teams that need a fourth arm for camp. Why isn't Colin Kaepernick in the consideration?
That's a good question. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Lijay Dusable, with my teammates, LeSean Shady McCoy, Omar Kelly, and Brandon Marshall. And I want to bring in my teammate, Brandon Marshall. Do you believe the Raiders having Colin Kaepernick in for a workout is more of a distraction technique from owner Mark Davis, who's currently dealing with a lot of serious allegations?
Sorry, I was a little distracted over here. I was looking at all of the, all decade wide receivers and their stats and look at mine.
Oh, my God.
I'm right, taking all my notes right now.
Just looking up how many drops he had his first season.
Oh, wow. what was your question?
I said, do you believe the Raiders bringing in Colin Kaepernick is more of a distraction because Mark Davis is, there's some serious allegations he's dealing with right now.
Listen, what we do know, what we do know is Josh McDaniels is a New England guy.
Mm-hmm.
Josh McDaniels was my head coach in 2010. I had Josh McDaniels for that year. He replaced Coach Shanahan. And he brought what we cover and we say is the New England way. We talk about eliminating distractions. We talk about being disciplined, you know, not playing into the nonsense. Coach McDaniels, he's all about football. He's not going to sign off on this. He won't even come there. You know, if he was going to join the circus, hell, he signed up with the Colts, took the job. Backed out. Supposed to be on the plane. He had the staff already in the building and walked away. Man, this dude is a savage, man. There's no way in hell he's bringing in Colin Kaepernick to join the circus, man. So I think this is a real circus thing.
What circus?
It's 5 years. 5 years gone by.
Okay. We look at him in OTAs, and if he could throw, he could throw. If he can't throw, he can't throw.
Can I ask you a question, though?
What's up?
Have you ever seen a quarterback not play for 6 years and they get a chance to come in and get a shot to
5 years?
For five years?
I thought it was.
No, but I can't say that it's okay. not, so, po- hold on. It's not you, impossible.
No, you said no, right? I think, right, the reason that he's going to start getting chances because of everybody making a big deal about it. Like, oh, you know, the NFL blackballed him. He's not getting a chance.
Facts.
So I think it's worked out for him, because before that, right, before they said he was blackballed, teams wasn't beat down the door to get Kaepernick. He wasn't playing like that. Like, we got to sign Kaepernick, right?
I mean,
his first big contract that he got. That was a crazy kiddie contract for a starting quarterback.
Now, he got he's in the $100 million club.
No. You're wrong. you're a media guy. You should know this, right? You should know this because you're a media guy.
Yeah. It was 90 something.
No. It was 100 something. It was like 116 or 14.
We ain't talking about what he got. The guarantee.
His true guarantee was like 20 something million dollars.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Okay.
And he had so many escorts he had to hit as far as making the playoffs, the NFC championship, all this craziness that quarterbacks do never get. As starting quarterback,
was he in the $100 million club? Did he get $100 million?
No,
I mean nobody.
No.
You ain't get all your money, so everybody didn't get all of their money.
He's not listening to what I'm saying. Look at his guarantee that he got.
Okay, it's a little baby guarantee. Okay, that's fine.
So what I'm telling you is right because when he part ways with San Fran, right, when he opt out, they were going to release him.
Mm-hmm.
So they both part ways. You know how that works. So I'm just saying, like, let's not like okay. At like, you know, he's just quarterback because he's known more, not for playing on the field, more for the stuff he's done off the field. Right?
Okay. But
all right, so let's just keep that. Let's keep that there.
I'm not having the argument that he should be a starting quarterback in the NFL. I'm having the argument that he should have the opportunity to try to make a team. That's the argument that I'm trying to make. Let his performance and his play determine what happens.
I can see that. You're not wrong about that. I mean,
he's no different from what he's accomplished and established than Marcus Mariota. They are the same quarterback. And one is a starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons right now, and one has been blackballed for 5 years.
Would Cam start on, I'm not Cam. Would Kaepernick start on your team?
Which team?
I mean, no. I'm not having the conversation like, about should he start.
I'm just being honest.
If you're asking me,
you wouldn't put him on your team.
Yeah. If you're asking me, if
nobody here would put him on our team. If I had to pick a quarterback, right? And let's say they could. Hold on, let me finish. The quarterback cannot be in the top 20 quarterbacks in the NFL. We still want to take Cam or I'll keep saying Cam.
Kaepernick.
As your quarterback.
But I don't think that's Omar's point. Man. His point is he deserves the right to be able to try to make a team as the second or even third.
Do I believe he can make the Dolphins roster? The team I cover? Yes. I do believe he can make the Dolphins roster as a number three quarterback. I have respect for Teddy Bridgewater, but if you're going to ask me Teddy Bridgewater, Colin Kaepernick, I say it's 50-50 battle right there.
I don't know about that.
One's got athleticism and arm, and the other is precision, accuracy, and know-how. I don't know who's going to win that one.
So I actually think that if he gets this offer, he shouldn't take it.
Why you say that?
What?
Because he's not going to. I hear what you guys are saying. Can he play? Can he not play? I absolutely think that Colin can be a starting quarterback in this league. There's several teams out there right now that
There are not several teams.
There's a couple tiers. The Seattle Seahawks.
That's one.
He can't go in there and compete. The
Carolina Panthers.
He can't go in there and compete. I want to go compete. Yes. Do I settle? Do I settle for a backup?
You've been begging for 6 years. Somebody offer you a contract. You're going to have to take it.
But listen, what did dude say earlier? It's like, man, you know, teams now, because they're saying he's been blackballed, 2020, everybody started this conversation. We started this conversation. We continued the conversation. So now, and on our show, right? Like, that put a lot of pressure on teams. We're coming out, and he finally has guys publicly supporting him. He's showing, you know, him throwing the ball on the field. Absolutely. You know, if I'm him, you know, I go out there and look for the best opportunity, because it's going to come. It got to come.
Now you're right, B.
But so you should wait for the Raiders to offer him a deal right now. Hell don't take it.
That narrative, if Seattle took a look, what the NFL said, he turned down that opportunity.
Listen, I'm using this as an opportunity to tell you guys that Colin Kaepernick, should he take it? Man, yeah, I mean, it's 5 years. But at the end of the day, this dude can play and start for the Seattle Seahawks. Well, but this dude can compete potentially for the starting gig in Pittsburgh, Carolina Panthers. He can start. He can compete for that starting gig. Well, and what other teams do you want to talk about? Let's look at it.
This is what I'll say to end this conversation, right? Brandon, if he takes a deal from the Raiders and he goes out there and balls in preseason, you know that if the Seattle Seahawks need a quarterback, they can call and maybe give up a 7th-round pick for him then. Right. But to Omar Kelly's point, it's been 5 years. You can't just turn down a deal when you said you've been begging to get back in the league, just want an opportunity.
I mean, it was a stretch. I was just trying to say he should be
starting. I'm just saying, I think if the Raiders offer him a deal, I think he takes it.
You got to take whoever offers
you. It was a stretch, yeah.
This is Lindsay Rhodes, and I'm so excited for my podcast, The NFL Roadshow, to be joining the SiriusXM sports family. We'll be talking about the most compelling topics and to some of the most interesting people in and around the NFL, taking a look at things through my somewhat nerdy football lens. I like to push past the low-hanging fruit to get to the real stories that are going to make you feel like a smarter football fan. So please join me every Wednesday for The NFL Roadshow, available on the SXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on with Lamar Jackson? Now, he's been MIA at OTAs, which is the organized team activities. And everyone is asking the question, when is he gonna show up? Or is he gonna even show up? Let's bring in our producer, Evan, for more information.
Yeah, so here's the deal. For the first time in Lamar Jackson's 4-year NFL career, he is not going to OTAs, right? He's been every year. Now, he is still on his rookie contract, right? He's entering the final year of his rookie contract. He's 25 years old. And that fifth year, by the way, $23 million he's supposed to make in 2022. We know the Ravens have said that they want to make a new deal with Lamar Jackson. And Jackson has previously said that he wants to stay with the Ravens. But it's starting to feel like there's like tension building here between the two sides. It's weird. People are speculating that there might be more to the story based on this soundbite from Jim Harbaugh, who was asked about Lamar's no-shows earlier this week. Take a listen.
This is voluntary. Lamar Jackson's not out here. Have you talked to him, or do you have a sense of his plan over these weeks?
Yeah, we've been down this road many times, right, through the years. So I'll just let Lamar speak for himself on that. It's for him to talk about. You can ask him.
Mm.
Yeah, so Lamar has not spoken about why he's not showing up to OTAs, and he also hasn't thrown out or even like leaked a number about the size of the contract he's looking for. And it's also important to note that Lamar Jackson is representing himself. Omar, his mom is actually representing him, right?
Yeah, but he's representing himself. I mean, yeah. His mom is doing the negotiations, which I don't think is the greatest idea, but everybody can do their own thing. And it's not very hard to negotiate a contract for Lamar Jackson. You look at the contract that Deshaun Watson just got and you say, give me more. That's how you negotiate that.
So how does this end up? Like, what is going to – will Lamar report to practice, report to OTAs without a contract? Should he? And what kind of money do you think he's looking for here?
Let me explain this from a media perspective.
Let me explain this from a media perspective
and somebody who I have always been, from the beginning of my career to the end of my career, an advocate for the players, because this is their one and only window to secure the bag, and create financial stability for their entire generation and the generation after them. And yes, these owners who are billionaires have to write these big colossal checks, you know, the one like Kwan got from the Boston Celtics. when in the big scope of things, did that check throw a dent into the Boston Celtics organization or the owner's wealth? Because I'm sure the wealth just continued to go up. And it's the same thing with Lamar Jackson. Don't feel sorry for these teams when these players say, pay me.
Not at all.
Pay me what I'm worth.
Correct.
And Lamar Jackson, as we all know, he is an orthodox quarterback. He's an elite player. He's already won the MVP, but he's an unorthodox quarterback. That means his body is in danger every single play, and he could have a Randall Cunningham-esque career where ultimately he takes too many hits and or Cam Newton, let me put it, Cam Newton-esque career where he takes too many hits and he has a drastic fall off. So he's got to get paid now.
Yeah, he can't step on the field without getting a new deal.
He's going to do it, though. Because he hasn't. This is the time to do this. This is the time to. And the Ravens have made it very clear.
They're trying to get something done.
We want to get something done. Let's talk. And Lamar's like, all right, hold, pause.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's an interesting situation, right? Because most players, when a team says, let's start this discussions, right? We know this is going to be a lot of back and forth. You got to decide what you're going to give and take on in the contract. Most players would sit at the table, but to Omar's point, Lamar represents himself. And I believe his mother is very hands-on with it. And I know you're a big proponent, Omar, of, players should have an agent. Right? I had an agent my whole career, but I get it why players are starting to represent themselves. To Omar's point, right? All you got to do is look at the previous contracts, and this is the starting point, right? To what I need to get my money.
Absolutely.
And I need to get a little bit more because the salary cap is going up, right? So Deshaun Watson got this. Well, depending on your play.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to get it right now.
Honestly, sometimes it don't even matter if it's about your play, because we discussed this off camera. If you're a top 15 quarterback and you're in line to get paid next, you're going to be the highest paid quarterback, whether people agree with it or not. Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr's in the 40 range. And I love Derek Carr. I think he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. So I think he was deserving of the $40 million a year. But, it was Kirk Cousins' argument for how many years? Like, why is he a top five quarterback?
Listen,
his record, I think, is literally 50-50.
Yeah, No. I hate. We're not going to have no Kirk Cousins slander. Because
I'm not slandering him. I'm just saying. Like, usually, if you're a top 15 quarterback in this league,
absolutely,
and you're due to get paid, most likely you're going to be the highest paid or top two or three quarterback paid in this league.
Kirk Cousins.
That's just what it is.
Pimp the system like nobody has ever pimped the system.
But everybody behind him has done the same thing. So
no, they haven't. Not the, what do the you way mean? He's done it. He's gotten a fully guaranteed contract.
That was true.
The first and only to do it.
Well,
and, Deshaun, and everybody.
Deshaun just did it.
Yeah, Deshaun just did it. You're right. Deshaun,
he changed the game.
Well, let me ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
And just help me understand this. As a football fan, I'm a football fan on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Why does, no matter what position it is, why when it's time to get paid in football, you have to sit out, you have to put a demand to get your money? That's why isn't that question. This guy, why is Lamar somebody that's put in work for 4 years? I know he had a little setback last year. He was hurt a lot. And, the interceptions was up a little bit. But why all the time you have to fight for your money? And it doesn't matter what position you at, receiver, running back. Like, where in basketball, when it's your time, you put that work in. Everybody know in the summer, you're going to get the big contract. It's not, you don't have to sit out. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to hire and get a new agent. You just know. Your work is done. So just help me understand that. Help me understand.
What I would say, Twan, first and foremost, NBA, there's not as many players, right? And the top players, if they ball out, you have to play them, right? Because what is it? 15 people maybe on the roster, if that, Twan?
Correct. Yes, 15.
There's 32 quarterbacks in the league. The owners are, they have to
quote unquote, decipher the cap, which to me is a myth. The cap is a myth. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's a myth. For people out there that understand, the cap is a myth.
It's monopoly money.
Exactly. You can make the cap what you want to make it.
Thank you.
They just don't want to guarantee as much money as possible. So that's why
I have been preaching this to people for a decade.
They use that excuse that the cap, we got to get guys under the cap. It's BS.
Cap is a mythological number that does not exist, and there is no penalties to it.
Exactly.
And it does not exist. But to answer your question, please.
Yeah, so like, that's a good question. I don't understand it. Like, why is it an issue every time a guy balls out that he has to sit out or threat not coming in to get what he deserves?
Here's the easy answer, Twan. In the NBA, you guys are assets. In the NFL, these are all disposable players.
That's how they look at it a lot of times.
That's why they don't have guarantees. That's why when the guarantee's up, they're going to shake you down or cut you.
Mm-hmm.
When the guarantee money is up, they're going to shake you down or cut you.
Yep.
That's why they're always trying to draft younger and cheaper players every single year. Dudes know
how
many.
As soon as they draft you, they're looking for somebody to replace you. Or as soon as they pay you,
they'll invest you because they got you on cheap for 40 years.
Somebody to replace you with.
But don't you guys feel like Le'Veon Bell lost his career because of trying to take that hard stance?
Well, no,
arguably the best running back, but it wasn't what it should have been.
No,
based off,
that was just a weird situation because there was a lot of back and forth between him and Pittsburgh, and
he took a hard stance, and
he didn't really gain that much money.
It was the wrong position for him to take.
Yeah, running back is hard. It's hard.
Running back is like a tire. There's only so much tread on that tire, and after that tread is gone, it's a disposable thing.
Yeah, but to your point, Twan, right? And we just talked about this, Omar. Deshaun Watson getting that guaranteed deal was a massive thing for all NFL players. Right, because in the NBA, I guess, and you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, Twan, most of the contracts, if not all of them, are 100% guaranteed, right? So by Deshaun doing
all of them,
he set a precedent now. And
Kirk Cousins
I got
set a precedent, but nobody else followed until Deshaun 4 years later, and I found that to be absolutely disrespectful.
But you got
to
think, Kurt's whole deal originally wasn't all guaranteed.
No.
Didn't they revamp it, and that's why it became guaranteed?
Okay. Sat played on the franchise tag for 2 years to force Washington to let him go.
Correct.
First top 10 quarterback to hit the market, had a bidding war.
Yeah.
Bidding war, the terms were must be fully guaranteed contract. Got a fully guaranteed contract from the Minnesota Vikings for 4 years, and then added more years to it that are still guaranteed
because they had to lower his cap number.
He has pimped the system like nobody has ever done.
But you know who's crazy? You know who I was mad at for a long time, Omar? Ndamukong Suh when he came down here. I felt like he could have did that with it. Instead of a 5 year, but I felt like he could have did the 3 year and did the whole guarantee. And he could have changed the game
Only a quarterback can get that.
I think at the time, Suh was a hot commodity.
Aaron Donald isn't getting a fully guaranteed quarterback. It's only a quarterback. And I've always said the quarterbacks have to break down the barrier. Do you know in the NBA, there is no language in their collective bargaining agreement Major League Baseball that says that these players must get fully guaranteed contracts. There's no language in either of their CBAs. It's the culture of the league. It's the culture of the agents. The NFL has to get to the exact same point.
Omar, I just want to refocus real quick. What's the number that's going to get Lamar Jackson on the field?
He's got to talk to him first and foremost.
A dollar more than Deshaun. Deshaun.
Deshaun got what, 230, right?
Yeah.
I would say 235.
He won't even get 235.
You don't think he's gonna get? 235?
I don't know.
Nah, he won't get 235.
He's a different style.
He's not gonna get 235.
If I'm Lamar, honestly, I do a smaller deal. I do a 3 year deal.
No, your body, baby, you're gonna take too many hits.
To answer your point, I don't think because of the way he plays, I don't think they're gonna give him 235. That's the question.
I keep telling you, man, it's a business, man. You got to get every dollar. Stop taking short money. I'm not taking no 3 year deal for what? I'm taking all.
So what
I'm
do they offer him a 5 year deal, 235,
but only
170 guaranteed.
That's 170 guarantee.
I'm taking the no. Give me a 3-year 170 guarantee.
You're gonna have to. No matter what he gets, to get financial freedom and flexibility to improve the team, they're gonna come back to him and restructure the deal.
100%.
Now, whether it's restructured friendly to you or restructured friendly to them, yeah, totally depends on your play.
Can you explain what restructuring that was? Do you still get your, like, the 170 still is 170, yep, and you defer it? Does that mean you defer some of your money for a couple of years down the line? What does that mean?
They get it up front so they can lower your
Okay.
They give you signing bonus and roster bonuses.
They turn it into roster bonus and signing bonus.
So that they can lower your cap number. But you still get your money generally, or you get more money.
But what happens when they restructure you, though, this is the part that people don't talk about, is that they void a lot of your guarantees in your later years of your contract. So this is the situation, you know, we see sometimes where it can help the player or hurt the player, because it helped Ben Roethlisberger, right? I think his cap number was ignorant his last year playing because they restructured it. But in other situations, they'll guarantee your money and your roster bonus sooner, but then they'll make, like, your last voided year, you know, not guaranteed. So, I mean, you just got to be careful. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lee J. Doolittle, with my teammates, Omar Kelly and Antoine Walker. And we're talking about Lamar Jackson. Will he show up to organize team activities this offseason?
Does he need to? Does he need to?
Or when will the Baltimore Ravens get a deal done with him is the question. Again, to me, it just makes sense for Lamar to do like a 3 or 4 year deal. I get what you guys are saying. Do a 5-year deal, but I just don't see them giving him
money.
I don't see them giving him $230 or $235 million on a 5-year deal guaranteed. I want him to get that, right? But you talked about it already, Omar, that the way he plays the game, missed a few games last year. Like, you know, they're banking on history. A guy cannot play with that type of style of football and be able to be healthy for another 4 or 5 years. We saw with Cam Newton, you know, his play kind of dropped off because he was banged up, had the shoulder injury. It's just hard, you know, playing that style of football, you know, and being having that much success for another 4 or 5 years because of the hits that Lamar Jackson has taken.
Want more I Am Athlete Tonight? This your boy B. Marshall. If so, you can get a new episode every night by subscribing to the main I Am Athlete Tonight podcast feed. We're on Mad Dog Sports Radio every weeknight, 7 and 9 Eastern. However, if you can't catch us live or you just want to hear the show again, you can always catch us on Apple or Stitcher or however you get your podcast. I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.